Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by Geary Williams on our podcast. Geary heads up community and performance improvement at Syracuse Community Hospital. He'll say that better than I do. We're going to talk to Geary about the response to coronavirus, what he sees in terms of his role, and more. Excited to visit with Geary. Geary, take a moment and introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, everyone. And hi, Scott. Thank you for having me on. Again, everyone, my name is Geary Williams. I'm the Director of Healthcare Performance Improvement for Syracuse Community Health Center, a local federally qualified health center here in Syracuse, New York.
And Geary, what are you seeing right now in terms of coronavirus, COVID-19? Obviously, New York's been hard hit by it. What are you seeing out there so far? What's your sense of what's going on?
Well, I would say, that's a great question. I would say initially there was a great sense of panic, especially here in the upstate New York area, where there wasn't a lot of guidance initially on what COVID-19 was, what the impact could be, and how soon it will sweep through the area. Initially, there was a ton of panic, and being here right at the epicenter of the testing grounds, there was a huge flow of traffic, huge flow of patients coming in just out of sheer panic, just to receive some testing. But I would say that actually over the past week and a half, that crowding has since dwindled down a little bit as the area has become more calm with regard to the COVID-19 and pandemic in this case, and developing a routine around just managing ourselves and being safe in the process.
Well, fantastic. And what is a federally qualified health center? What kind of things do you do to respond to this, prepare for it? What kind of things do you look at in terms of keeping your mission on track during this pandemic?
Well, first and foremost, patient safety and employee safety are our two primary concerns. Given where we are right now, business is not operating as it usually would with a ton of foot traffic operating or flowing in and out of the organization. At this time, we're just kind of working on emergent issues and facilitating tests regarding COVID. And we're also looking into developing or actually initiating a telehealth presence here in the area where we have the opportunity to address low acuity issues with our patients, still giving them the care and giving them the care that they need and the consultation that they need, and also keeping them safe at the same time. Here in the area where just kind of operating, I won't say with a skeleton crew, but I'll say actually in terms of camaraderie across the board, there's been a great rise in camaraderie, not only amongst the employees here within the organization, but also within surrounding organizations as well, stepping up to the plate to address this pandemic in our area.
You talk about that camaraderie. Talk to me for a moment further about some of the positives or silver linings that come out of this kind of crisis or can come out of it.
I would say a primary silver lining that will come out of this is that we're all in this together. And typically when push comes to shove, we're all more than willing to roll our sleeves up and get our hands dirty in order to address a common issue that impacts all of us. That has been the greatest sense that I've gained throughout this 3-week issue so far. But I'd also say it's great that you're able to call upon individuals and say, hey, I need help. And they're more than willing to volunteer and step up to the plate and provide assistance to those in our community that are going to be most hard hit, because we serve the more vulnerable population here at the health center.
And how is your population dealing with it? Are they themselves extremely anxious or trying to hang together? What's your sense of that?
I would say initially there was a ton of anxiety that that existed among our population. However, that has since subsided, given the great response from not only here within the health center, but also through our local government, local hospitals, as well as the leadership here in the organization.
When you talk about your priorities in terms of performance improvement in the system, in the health center, some of that I'm sure has been put on hold for the moment. When you think about your big priorities, your big goals, what do those things look like? Give us a sense of that.
Well, I mean, when I came into the organization, which I've only been here for almost 3 weeks, so I'm still fairly new to the organization. But one of my biggest goals here was to, from a broad standpoint, is to improve overall population health. And that comes from understanding what the needs of our population are. A study that I'm working on through my Executive Master Health Administration program at Cornell is the concept of psychographics, which is a marketing term that identifies the attitudes and interests and opinions of shoppers. And in this case, individuals consume healthcare, and my goal is to kind of identify what are the drivers behind healthcare consumption, especially as it relates to overutilizing the emergency room, for example.
Yeah, so interesting. And so how does it feel to have made a job change in the middle of a pandemic? I mean, what a strange period of life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I'd say, very interesting. Coming into the organization while this is initially kicking off, I wanted to just kind of step in and find my place and say, hey, well, where can I serve? Although, you know, I came in and, you know, everything is just kind of moving a mile a minute. All I had to do or all I needed to do was just ask where could I serve, whether that involved coordinating volunteers throughout the community, going out and, you know, speaking to the current staff, current clinicians, or just working with my administrative team, just to kind of understand where the gaps are and where I can fill them at this time.
Well, fantastic. And one moment on the Cornell Master's Program. Talk about that for a moment as well, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is about the program, it's a very, very fantastic program. It's a hybrid program that I was actually recruited through LinkedIn on. I didn't initially intend on pursuing a second master's degree at the time. However, after reviewing the program and what the components are in terms of the coursework, I understood that in terms of my personal ambitions, my career ambitions, there were some holes in my game, so to speak, especially regarding healthcare finance. And given the list of courses available through the program, I felt as though pursuing that program would give me the tools that I would need, or at least further shore up my weaknesses, my weak areas, to help me prepare for that next step in my career.
Gary, take a moment and talk to me more about quality improvement and your perspectives on quality improvement that you've sort of developed.
Sure, not a problem. So, I mean, in terms of quality improvement, and I'll just focus on one particular example, which involves breast cancer screening, which is a HEDIS measure identified by NCQA. And this is something that, you know, again, is a prevalent issue. It's definitely on the front lines of every healthcare organization out there. But given that from the organization I came from, those numbers were not where they needed to be in terms of ratings. And what I wanted to do was not just engage with the patients who fit the criteria for that measure, but I also wanted to develop community-based partnerships to kind of help drive the numbers and drive engagement among our population. One such example includes working with a local hospital here who has a mammography bus, a mammography unit, where they can actually take a huge charter bus and park in a specific neighborhood or shopping location and administer confidential tests within that facility with healthcare providers, nurses, and other supportive clinical staff. And given an understanding of, our demographics and where the largest gap for our membership at the time lied, I worked with not only that hospital, but other local community-based organizations to help us engage with the populations that needed the service, especially our new American population here in Syracuse, New York, where there's a ton of, cultural gaps, language barriers and things of that nature. Being able to understand that and develop partnerships and develop an engagement process around that really helped push our numbers upward, but also helped include or improve access to care for those who needed it.
Well, that's fantastic. Talk to me about how excited you are about the quality improvement journey and working with the entire community on it.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely very excited about it, and I still, I still have that passion burning in me every day. And what I really gained from this is just the importance of, togetherness. And I know it sounds very glittery and everything, but that's really how the job gets done. I've always kind of operated, in a silo and say, hey, I can do this alone, but no man is an island. And I realized through engagement with not only my peers, subordinates, and individuals within the community, different organizations who all have the same goal at the end of the day, just finding a way to meet in the middle and really work together towards driving a specific area of care.
Well, that's fantastic. Gary, I want to thank you for your thoughts. What a pleasure visiting with you and hearing what's going on there locally with COVID-19, and also hearing about your plans and thoughts on quality improvement. And you're taking on a master's program, another master's program. What a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you very much, sir. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic assisted surgery.